verse 18, we see that this is how Jesus came into this world. And Mary, who was a young girl, was engaged to this man named Joseph. And before they came together, before the marriage was consummated, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, you being maybe a young woman or a young man, how would you deal with this situation? Maybe if you were a teenager in high school and coming to school that morning and having to tell your friends or your family that you were with child. I went to a high school. We had a program that prepared young women to bear children. And they would see them through the pregnancy while they went to class. And then after they were pregnant and gave birth to the child would stay in the nursery while they went to first period and second period and third period and fourth period. And I thought, wow, that's pretty rad that we have something in place for young girls that get pregnant. And here Mary is in a very lonely place, because this is the only person that this has ever happened to. And she's with child, and it's of the Holy Spirit. And for you men, do it with me. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. And now I ask you, how would you handle it? If you were a good Jewish boy, Not ever rounding first base, not ever taking it too far, working hard to show your fiance that her purity is valued, working hard to, you know, stay pure for your own self, and then actually building a home for your future wife, and going and buying all the wood and everything that you would put together to start a home, to prepare a place for the one that you love, for the one that you hope to be married, that maybe one day on that marriage day, you would get to show her how much you love her and how much you value her purity and how much you saved yourself for that very day. Not only to walk down the aisle, not only to pledge your love to her, but also to hear the mariachi escort you out. And to have everybody cheer you on and show you how much they love you by giving you dollars and putting them on your clothes, right? And here you are saving yourself and preparing a place for your would-be bride. And one day, you're like, hey, you know, I haven't seen her in a while. Maybe I should just go say hi. And you make your way over to where she's at, a very poor city, the city of Nazareth. And you see her. And she gives you a look. You know, that look. And she's glowing, but there's hesitance. There's this lack of courage, this lack of confidence in her life, because she doesn't know how to tell you that she's struggling with something. She doesn't know what words to say. She doesn't even know how to start the conversation. And all you can do as a man is say, what happened? What's going on? And I see your troubled face. Your countenance is down. Talk to me. What's happening? And then she would reveal to you the news. She's pregnant. And it's not your child. How would you respond? You've been working towards your purity. You're blameless before God and man. You're blameless. You're a just man, the Bible says. You've been trying so hard, and yet God ruined your plans. And now society looks at you as an adulterer. And society looks at that baby bump and they can't rejoice with you because all they want to do is condemn you. They're just waiting for the day that Joseph would have enough courage to bring her before the elders and to proclaim her guilt as unfaithful. They're waiting to see this happen as if it was an episode on TMZ. They're waiting to see the Twitter feed and the pictures and the evidence and how everybody captured this moment of somebody's sin being dealt with. What would you do, men? What would you do if this is how God was working in your life? If he was putting your reputation at stake, your integrity, your character, how society valued was diminished. What would you do? Before WWJD was WWJD. Before what would Jesus do, there was what would Joseph do? What would Joseph do? I mean, that to me is a question that I've been asking myself, like, what would I do? Of course we would want justice, don't we? When somebody sins against us, it's almost natural for us to respond with, I want justice. You know, in my class, we did this little exercise where we put on one end of the whiteboard, like, hey, if we were sinned against, what would we desire? And on the other side of the board, we put, okay, if we were the sinner, what would we desire? And obviously on the sinner's side, we're like, oh man, we just want grace. We want to feel forgiven. We want to feel loved. We want to feel like we have value. We want restoration. We want redemption. We want all this good stuff. We want mercy. And then we came over to this side. And then we said, we want justice, we want revenge, we want somebody crucified. Isn't that our nature? To want justice when we're not at the expense, right? When we're not on the line, we want justice. But the story of the Bible is different. That when we deserve justice, God said, no, 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 I got this. I'll be held accountable. That's the story of the Bible. And so Joseph, being a just man, feels cheated, feels robbed. But like all of us men, we begin to weigh out the options, don't we? And we make two lists. And we're like, all right, here we go. And we get creative on this side. We're like, well, I can run away. I can do this. And you have this fleshly desire to deal with sin and this tough circumstance. And you can make stuff up and you can put all these lies together in order to cover up your sin. And this side of the list is normally the flesh. And then on this side, you have like maybe one or two options. And this is the side where the Spirit is working. And this is the side that will cost you something. This is the side where you're gonna have to lay yourself down for the love of your friends. This side is very easy. It's very simple to do. Because in us is a desire to sin. In us, it's easy for us to sin. The flesh is what? It's weak. We want to give in. But over here, the Spirit is willing to work with your mess, to work with your situation and your circumstance. And so Joseph, being a just man, puts out these lists. And in verse 19, it says, not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. Again, let's take a step back. Let's take a deep breath. Joseph had every right to shame her publicly. He had every right to bring forth the evidence that was clearly pointing to what? Unfaithfulness, adultery. And because his word would always be valued more than hers, whatever he decided to do would almost emphatically favor him and his reputation. And so the ball's in his court. He gets to do whatever he wishes with this situation. And being a man, what does he do? He calls the boys over and begins to seek counsel from the boys. You know, your boys. That's right. Bring them over. Let's order some pizza and get some wings. And there he would be minded to put her away. The question was, would he break bro code? He was a man of integrity, a man who knew before God and man that he was blameless. And because he loved Mary, because he cared for her, he didn't want to make her a public example. He didn't want to bring her before the elders of the city and have them condemn her for her sin. The evidence was clear. And though I think that this was the best option, in studying the text and doing my research, I want to clue you in on something that you might not yet know about Joseph. What else would be affecting his decision making? Deuteronomy 22. It says this in verse 13. If any man takes a wife, which he did, and he goes into her, which he had not done yet, and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct, and brings a bad name on her. This is what he wanted to prevent. And says, look, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found that she was not a virgin. A very provable process. Then what would happen is the father and the mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. Again, a process. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as a wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidences of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And then the elders of the city shall take that man and punish him. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he cannot divorce her all of his days. But if the thing is true, and evidence of virginity are not found for this young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away evil from among you. There was a process in the Jewish culture. And Joseph was in a very conflicted state. Does he put her away secretly, send her away with a couple of camels back to Nazareth? Or does he bring her out before the elders and condemn her for her unfaithful adultery? What would happen? Mary would come out, her parents would come next to her, plead her case, spread the cloth, and prove the virginity of Mary, because guess what? This was a virgin birth. Was Mary still a virgin? Of course she was, because guess what? They had not had sex yet. It's heavy, isn't it? The position that Joseph is in. Because if he were to bring her out, they spread the cloth, they prove that she's a virgin, guess who has to pay? Joseph. And now the shame is on him. And so Joseph is in a very conflicted state where he doesn't know what's right from wrong. Does he put himself on the line? Does he put his wife on the line? He's stuck. Have you ever been stuck? Raise your hand. In a position where you just don't know what God wants to do, right? Mostly all of us. And we're like, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Do I go to this college? Do I go to this university? Do I go to JC? Do I go, you know, where do I go? What career do you want me? Where are you going to be most glorified, Jesus? And we begin to ponder these questions and begin to ask ourselves, and we begin to doubt because we don't know. And sometimes, like Joseph, we ask our friends. And our friends begin to speak into our lives. And guess what? If our friends are unsaved, we're going to get unsaved results. But if our friends know Jesus, they're going to tell us to trust. Be a good friend. Point them to Jesus. Put their hands, put a Bible in their hands and say, go, you know what? Go a couple days. Go spend some time with the Lord. Let him reveal himself to you. My words don't really matter. I can tell you kind of what would work out for you. But guess what? I know a voice that will bring you peace. And that voice is the voice of Jesus. So here, go meet with him. That's what a friend would do. A friend will tell you to wait on the Lord. That's a word for somebody here today. Because Joseph had friends that said, hey, take the easy way out. Put her out secretly. Send her by the night. And hopefully she doesn't die on the road to Nazareth. Story of Christmas isn't just about gifts or food and the emotional roller coaster we've been on, like since Black Friday, you know? Just been on this roller coaster, like figuring out what to get people and who we're gonna go see, and if we're only gonna go see like the in-laws, or are we gonna go see our family? Like there's this tension, and you're just like, ah, I'm stuck, right? It's a picture of God intervening on behalf of a hopeless couple. A couple who didn't know what to do. It's a picture of God giving us a better plan when both plans were just, they were terrible at best. Someone would be punished. It's a picture of God writing a better story. When Joseph was stuck with options that spoke to his humanity, when his friends minded him a selfish option, and when everything around him was telling him to bail, God intervenes in a dream and gives him a better option. And guess what, folks? I believe that God is into speaking to us in dreams. I believe that the Spirit is alive and well and is speaking to you even right now. I believe that as you leave, he can speak to you. I believe as you walk your halls at work or at school, God is able to speak to you. But here with this man, he spoke to him through a dream. It says this: while he thought about these things, verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. He reminds him right there, not only that God knows his name, but that his name would be the one in line with the prophecy that would usher in the Messiah. Son of David. Yes, we recognize him for his earthly father, Jacob, but God is directing him to the promise that would usher in a better savior, a better king. One who not only was after God's own heart, but had God's DNA inside of him. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, because he is going to save his people from their sins. He woke up from that dream, knowing what God wanted to do, knowing that God had something better, knowing that there was a better story, knowing that there was a better plan, knowing that there was a better option, and it came while he was resting. He was asleep. And here, he even says, hey, just so you know, it's so that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph. See, we have two ways of responding to God's word. We can either let it sit and maybe think about it and kind of like, I don't know, this is hard. Like, I'm going to have to actually do something about tonight. I heard this story about this guy who was scared and he didn't have the right options. And then God revealed to him a better option. And now God showed me a better option and I don't know what to do. What should I do? I'm conflicted again. Now I'm really confused because I have these two options that I came up with by myself. But then there's this better option that looks better, but is much harder. What am I going to do? Joseph got up, being aroused from his sleep. And this is the key. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He responded to the vision. He responded to the word of God with action. Not with complacency, not with laziness, not with procrastination. What does it say? And he took to him his wife, and guess what? He stayed above reproach and did not know her till she had brought forth the firstborn son. And guess what? He still called his name Jesus. Even when his entire lineage had not had that name webbed into it. Full and complete obedience. Church, be honest with you now. It is in the drama of life that God might be wanting us to yield to a better option when we are most hopeless. It is in the drama of life that God might be wanting to use us to present a better option to those that are hopeless. But in order for us to be able to present a gift to somebody, we have to know what that gift means on our own personal level, don't we? How could we give a gift that we don't know the value of? And why would that mean something to somebody if they don't know the value of that gift? Little, you've heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? Right? Well, guess what? Little did Joseph know that God was using him to usher in and to be a stepdad to his own son. Little did Joseph know that by yielding and waiting on the Lord and asking for a better option and then acting upon that option, that he would get to love on this little Grom, this little kid, this little baby. He would get to change his diaper. He would get to feed him milk. He would get to play with him, you know, with whatever little Jewish toy babies get. A little dreidel, spin the little dreidel for him. He would get to love on this kid, knowing that this kid would grow up to show him what true love is. He would get to care for this kid, knowing that one day he would grow up to know he cares. Knowing that he wants to show him how much he cares for him by interceding and forever living to intercede for his people. Little did Joseph know that one day this man would grow up and show him what true sacrifice is. Not just putting his reputation on the line, his integrity on the line, his character on the line, but putting his whole life on the line for the sake of his stepdad. Little did Joseph know that the decision that he waited upon would be the decision, the best decision that he ever made. It would be the most fearful thing. It'd be the heaviest thing that he ever did. Because in taking his wife, he's not just saying, hey, let's just go hide out and not tell anybody about this. Remember, his friends knew. And if you have friends, like I have friends, they're chismosos. They like to tell people all your business, right? And guess what? People knew. The baby bump was showing. And guess what Joseph did? Instead of putting her out secretly, and instead of hiding the situation, Joseph steps into her shame and grabs her hand, and he becomes her husband. Steps into her shame, steps into what she's dealing with, steps into her sorrow, steps into, begins to wipe away the tears, begins to hold her and give her courage and give her strength, because she was without hope. She didn't know what he was going to do. She was at his disposal. And Joseph gathers the courage to put not only his integrity in the line, his character on the line, but to put his reputation on the line for as a picture of what Jesus would do when he came into this world and stepped into our shame and our muck and our mire to take the pain of sin and death and the devil away, so that we would be delivered from the presence of sin, from the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. Joseph musters up the courage when he could have just taken the easy way out. He had every right to put her away, publicly or secretly. So my question to you is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this story? We talked about what would Jesus do? Talked about what would Joseph do? What are we gonna do? WWID, what would I do? But not with this story, with your personal story. Are we going to remain shackled by fear? A lack of confidence, a lack of courage. Because we don't want to deal with sin? Or is today going to be the day, this might all seem like a dream to you, because it was for me. 15 years ago, I was right there with this homie sitting right here. And guess what? It all seemed like a dream. Because I never heard the voice of God like that before. My eyes, my ears were shut. My eyes were blinded. And I had no hope. I was just like Joseph. And the service was my dream come true. That one day, I would hear the word of God and I would be made whole. And so my question is, and this is for you Christians who have yet to deal with sin, or if you've yet to deal with just these thoughts of doubt or these thoughts of wonder, don't know what situation, where you're gonna go, if you're gonna go right, you're gonna go left, if you just date so-and-so or date this other person, like you don't know. You have options. How many of you have options before you right now? Like heavy options. Okay, guess what? You need prayer. So I'm gonna ask you to do something courageous. I'm gonna ask you to come up. You just admit it, that you have something that you need God to intervene on. And so what I want you to do right now is to get up out of your seat and come up and humble yourself. It's not that big of a deal. We're not gonna do anything crazy. We just wanna pray for you. We just wanna love on you. We know that God spoke today and he has a better option for you. And we know that God is doing something powerful in the midst of these people. And we don't want to be ashamed of what God wants to do. We actually want to agree with it. And so if you're out there right now, and if you're hearing on the radio, pull over and ask God to reveal himself to you. This sermon, these songs that we sing, they mean nothing in relation to God revealing himself in his person through his word to you. So we're going to sing a song here, and we're going to wait on the Lord, and I'm going to ask that if there's anybody else, come up. Don't be ashamed to be in need of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to be in need of what God wants to do for you. This battle might not be your own. This battle might be of the Lord, and you need to come up and allow him to fight for you. You need to come up and allow yourself to die and to be placed at the foot of the cross, that his healing and his victory would be imputed on your behalf. Come up. Let's worship.